Because of who you are.
Because of who you are, we give you glory. Because of who you are.
Because of who you are,
we give you praise.
Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, we lift our voice and say,
Lord, we worship you. Because of who you are.
Because of who you are.
Because of who you are. You are, we give you glory. Because of who you are.
Because of who you
Lord,
are,
we give you praise.
Lord,
we worship you.
Lord, we worship you. Because of who you are.
Lord, we worship you.
Lord, we worship you.
We worship you.
Because of who you are. Lord, we worship you.
Lord, we worship you.
Because of who you are.
Lord, we worship you.
Father, we worship you because of who you are. The heavens are thy throne, the earth is thy footstool. The heavens declare your glory. Our bodies are full of the wonders of your wisdom and your faithfulness to your people Israel, a testimony for all the earth to see. Because of who you are, we worship and honor you and give you a place of honor and preeminence as we assemble this evening. Lord Jesus, you were there before the world began. The Word that was in the beginning, the Creator of everything. We worship you because of who you are and give you a place of honor, lordship, and preeminence as we assemble this evening. And wonderful Lord Holy Spirit, El Shaddai, the breasty one, the revealer and the glorifier of the Christ, the maker of all things. Lord, Holy Spirit, we worship you because of who you are and give you a place of honor, preeminence, and control as we assemble, that indeed everything you will come and help us, because that's who you are, a helper. Help us inspire and direct our thoughts, words, and deeds, that everything we do will be to the glory of the name of Jesus, the edification of this, your church, which is a part of you, really. And the subsequent blessing of the rest of humanity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship and welcome you. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we worship you because of who you are.
Oh, sing it. Lord, we worship you because of who you are.
Lord, we worship you.
Lord, we worship you,
Lord. Lord, we worship you.
Lord, we worship you because of who you are. In Jesus' name we worship. You may be seated. We welcome everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus to our School of Perfection service, the first of 2024. And we welcome you in Jesus' name. We also welcome those who are watching online. I'd like you to greet the people in your immediate neighborhood, whether you are on site or online. And say, we're going to have a wonderful time tonight in the presence of God. And we're going to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, your sweet presence. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart, my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver this word with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. Only the pastors are in agreement with me. And they all said, amen. I wish you hear amen from all over the hall in Jesus' name. Well, this is our school of perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection, using the Lord Jesus both as our pattern as well as our goal. Now, perfection, very simply, is a spiritual condition in which the residual sin nature in our souls and bodies have been completely cleaned out by the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the will of God for the season which we're living in. I'm going to give us I did this during the watch night service, but I've developed it much more now, and we'll be talking more about it on Sunday. You know, not yet. I'll tell you when to put it up. You know, we're in the season of the perfecting of the church. And we'll explain that in a bigger context of the season of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're in the third day, the third millennium from the birth of Christ. And the Bible tells us in Luke 13:32 that in the third day I will be perfected. So God wants us to come into this experience of cleansing perfection and then grow in it. That is, maintain that perfection. That is, in other words, maintain the cleansing of the soul and body from the sin nature. In other words, you don't allow the sin nature to reside. Even if you do sin occasionally, you quickly repent, you quickly clean it out. So you maintain that condition of perfection and then grow in it. And then in maturity, you would have your soul and your mind, your will, and emotions would have been so developed and trained that they will no longer sin. Jesus is the best example. You can't get better than Jesus. You know what the Bible said about him in his lifetime? Two things. Prophetically, it said that he hated iniquity and he loved righteousness. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. How many people can honestly say they love righteousness and hate iniquity? We don't. We still, there are a lot of things we still love. Hello? Now, we know it's wrong and we resist it, but we still, there's still that likeness for it. Now, may you come to the place where truly, you know, and as a consequence of that, God said about this about him at the baptism of John, after 30 years, he had not done any miracles. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So you and I have to get there. You know, we're getting there. And when and only when that happens, can we be trusted with the Spirit without measure? And it makes absolute sense. You will not give that kind of power to somebody who still has a tendency to do bad things. You know, if you look at in recent times in using our Bible app, and I recommend everybody to use it, our daily Bible reading, we've been going through Chronicles. We're in 1 Chronicles 25 today, talking about the prophesying of, you know, but that's not what I want to talk about. You know, the interesting thing, you go and look at the kings of Israel, you know, like we said recently, the best of them was David.
In spite of David's sin, David was still number one. Nobody.
You know, then there was Josiah, who was also good, but he too had pride and he died young because he went to a battle God didn't ask him to go to. Of course, the worst, he's not the worst king, but the worst example was Solomon. Who would have thought that Solomon would do what he did? After, I was reading it again today, you know, I think one of the glory scriptures. God says, and Solomon prayed, and fire came from heaven. You do what else? What else do you want? What else do you want? At the dedication of the temple of Solomon, the Bible says the Spirit of God, the glory of God filled the temple. God confirmed to Solomon, you know, God was not surprised because nothing surprises God, you know, but God was deeply disappointed that Solomon could allow himself. Do you know he went back to worshiping false gods because of some stupid girls? What the Bible calls, you know, the daughters of the East Country. And that tells you something. The reason why I said all that is this. You can now understand why God will not release the spirit without measure until all the sin nature is not just out, but you have over many years, you not only have you cleansed it, you've kept it out. And your whole mind, will, and emotions have come to the place where God knows that you love righteousness and you hate iniquity and you will never go back to it. Before then, he can give you the gifts of the Spirit, which are occasional and he takes them back. But he will, to give you Spirit out of measure, that must never, it must not happen that you give the Spirit out of measure somebody who will now betray God like Solomon did. Because what Solomon did was a betrayal. The Bible says, and you know, he said it twice. The Bible is a very funny, very interesting book. He said, to whom the Lord had appeared to him twice. God doesn't appear to everybody. God felt betrayed. What else does Solomon want? What else did Solomon want? Gave him riches, gave him wisdom, gave him everything. Why couldn't he just do Deuteronomy 17, this book of the law? Simple. The what God asked him to do was not complicated. Mercy, oh. You see why you must not love, or rather, you know, where many of us, we still have some of that sin nature, and, you know, like the Yoruba say, iwoni wa lanwo ko to de to ba desi awa uatiwa. I'll translate. It means that when you're still poor, you relatively don't have too much power, you pretend as if you are very humble and you behave like other people. He said, but when you now know that the money has come and then the power has come, your true nature comes out. And you see it in human nature all the time. You see it. It's not human nature. It's a sin nature. It's a satanic nature. You know, where if that thing is still, if there are still vestiges of it there, it will lie dormant. Then when real money, I just see nice guys, you know, when money comes, mess you, and don't say, oh, look at that person. You have the same inside you. You mustn't just subdue it. You must get rid of it. There's a big difference. Some people, you can dominate sin. It's there, but you subdue it. But it's still there. But you don't even want to subdue it. You want to cleanse it out. Hence the scripture. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some. Filthiness of flesh, spirit, perfecting holiness, the fear of God. So we now get the spirit without measure when we can be trusted with it. You know, and then we now use that spirit without measure to go ahead to make disciples using the 12 apostles and the 70 as the type, as the pattern in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. What Jesus did in Israel was a prototype of what the church has to do in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Jesus' ministry, the first 3 years, was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what did he do? He got a bunch of about 100 men. There were about 100, you know. There was 70, and then there was 12, which is 82. And there may be a few others that we don't know, because we read in the Bible that some people did miracles and all of that. So let's just approximate to about 100, you know, who partook of his anointing. We call it the borrowed anointing. Then he sent them out in twos, and they went to every village, everywhere, so that nobody in Israel would have an excuse to say they did not know the Messiah came. And you know what he told them? He said, I send you, you know, as sheep among wolves. He said, be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove, and as, you know, well, he didn't put bold. We added that, you know, by revelation. You know, as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. You know what he told them to do? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, and if they don't accept you or something, he says, shake the dust off your feet. You know, it will be a testimony. He said, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. So Israel at that time, you know, had disciples who were, they were all natural Israelis. They all spoke the same Hebrew everybody spoke. The same tribe, same tongue, same kindred. And he sent them out to all of the nations. So he's doing, that's what is going to be reproduced now. Amongst the Yoruba, amongst the Efik, amongst the Igbo, amongst the Kanuri, amongst the Hausa, amongst the Fulani, amongst the German, amongst the Italian. In every tribe is a big job. And it cannot be done except you do it the way Jesus did it. How? Spirit without measure. So I want us to quickly look at this truth in the bigger context of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. I spoke about this. Now, David, put it on the screen. I spoke about this on New Year's Eve, on a watch night service, and I'm going to do it again on Sunday, this coming Sunday. I'm going to be, turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss Sunday. I'm going to be talking about the restoration of the purity and the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're coming. That's not spirit without measure yet. I'll get there in a minute. Let me just quickly, you know. See, the Feast of Tabernacles is the last of the three feasts of Israel. It amazes me. The church is so funny, you know. You know, they don't believe. They believe that the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be in the millennial reign. How can? Three feasts. Number one, Passover, being born again. Number two, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and gifts of the Spirit. That's been fulfilled. But there's a third feast. Feast of Tabernacles, which typifies the perfection of the church inheriting the Spirit without measure, and thereby doing what I just said, making disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred, not believers. Disciples. Big difference. Not every believer is a disciple, but every disciple is a believer. We'll get a lot of believers, but I don't just want believers, I want disciples. Who will be disciplined and follow the example of Christ and therefore partake of the Spirit without measure to be a witness to their own people in Iceland, Russia, Siberia. I'm trying to think of the most way out place. Mongolia. And all the towns. Pakistan, Afghanistan, Zugisistan, and whatever else town. Hello? That's where we're going. Now, we have to understand it in this context. So, this Feast of Tabernacles is not understood by most of the church. Not believed. Their believing is erroneous, you know, because they believe it's going to be fulfilled in millennium. How can it be? How can it be? Was Passover fulfilled in the millennium? It was here. There were three feasts. Why would God fulfill two of them now? And then push the other one to the millennial reign. It's not even in line with scripture. All the things we read about perfection and the glory of God all refer to this Feast of Tabernacles. That's why. And it's going to be on this side of the millennial reign,
not in the millennial reign. The scripture even says it. It says that we will be partakers of the powers of the age to come. So even if you put it in the millennial reign, the Bible says you should partake of it in this realm. Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. You know, the judge is, you know, and they don't even want to hear it, but whether they want to hear it or not, they're going to hear it. You know, now they can choose to reject it, but they will not say they did not hear. So that's why God put us on YouTube and gave all this international something. Because now, you may not listen to it, but God will tell you it was available. And they're going to play back all the angels, they played back how they brought it to your television and your something, how you said, no, I don't want to see, and you will assert to God. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles is in three seasons. The first season is a season of trumpets. If you go and read in the Old Testament, I'm going to move very fast. If you go and move in the Old Testament, you'll find that, you know, all the feasts are shadows, prophetic shadows of real experiences the church is having today. The first one was Passover, which refers to our being born again. The Bible says, Christ our Passover. Then the second one is Pentecost. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was come, it was the actual physical day of Pentecost, when there was a spiritual experience of the Holy Ghost coming and the church speaking in tongues. Then there's this third one. Now, this third one is different from the first two in a sense. In the sense that this third one is made of three sections. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast, I call it Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles proper. What does it refer to? It refers to the church coming into the perfection of the fruit of the Spirit. The ingathering is the ingathering of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the perfection. That is the prerequisite to the second section, which is the ingathering of the disciples from every nation, which can only be accomplished by the Spirit without measure. Hence, Zechariah 2:5 says, after the glory, will he send me to the nations? He will not send you to the nations before the glory. He loves you too much and doesn't want you to get killed. You don't have a spirit without measure. You try and go to the nations. And that's, sadly, that's what happened to a lot of our people. Thank God for the effort. I don't, you know, thank God for the heart for want to, you know. All the guys, the missionaries that came from Africa to Africa, you know, some of them were killed. Now, some of them did survive. Many of them came to realize that what they came to plant here was not the perfection, but the seed. Those who did that and didn't overstretch their bounds were safe. The purpose of the missionary movements of the 16, 17, and 1800s and into the 1900s was to go to the heathen nations, China, India, Africa, where we had been steeped in demonic worship for centuries. People don't realize colonialism. Thank God they came. You know what your forefathers were doing? Forget the white man now. Put the white man aside. Before the white man ever came, we had slaves. We were killing them. Killing ourselves. Papa Afi, you know, who's almost 100 years old, and Mama Afi, Auntie Ore's mom and dad, they tell me this story. True story. Both of them. When Papa Afi was a young boy, you know, this is so many years ago in Ondo, their king was such that if the man spits, one of the slaves has to open his mouth to catch the spit. If he doesn't catch the spit, he's a dead man. What kind of wickedness is that, Pastor Boyega? And it's not just Ondo, it was all over. Abeokuta, Ijebu, we were ruled by demonic spirits. He said the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice not unto God, but unto devils. Let's tell the truth. That's why my great-grandfather changed our name from whatever our Yoruba name was. I don't even want to know what it was. Amen. To Johnson. Yes, my great-grandfather. Not my grandfather, but my great-grandfather. He got born again. Then the priest, the Methodist priest that was in Abeokuta at that time, his name was Johnson. So my grandfather great-grandfather, changed his name from his Yoruba name to Johnson. And they hated him and killed him. Yes. My grandfather became an orphan when he was about 10. And then my great-grandmother, you know, who was the wife of my great-grandfather, the brothers wanted to... It's normal, it's our culture. You know, you would take the wife after you kill the brother. Can you imagine? Yes. She ran away. She ran to Lagos. That's how we moved from Abeokuta to Lagos. And we've never looked back. And we're not looking back. It's a true story. My grandfather told me. And my dad told me. You know? That's how we changed the name to Johnson. Simply because the man wanted to walk in light. Thank God the missionaries came. Thank God the white man came. But they understood people like David Livingstone and Mary Slessor. They understood that the thing is in stages. Let's sow the seed. So they did two outstanding things, or three. In any community they went to, they will start a school, education. They will start a hospital for health. Do you understand? Then they will start a church. Usually it's the other way around. Start church first. These people who bring their children to church that allow them to go to school. That's how education and light came here and delivered from the demonic... I'm looking for the right word. The demonic culture that our forefathers had inherited. I'm going to tell you a true story. This happened before I was born again. The year was 1977. I was an undergraduate in University of Ibadan. You know, I had an uncle. I'm not going to mention his name publicly, even though he's dead now. And he's not my uncle here. He's not Femi Johnson. He's another of my uncles on my mom's side. Very rich man. Very, very, very rich. He was a multimillionaire. Very smart. He actually did physics. That's how we became friends. When he heard I was an undergraduate in physics, he liked me, so we became friends. So we'll be discussing, you know, linear algebra, vectors, and very nice things that you will not be interested in tonight. So this is my uncle. One day, we were in London. You know, go on summer holidays and everything. You know, and he was very rich. So he used to stay in this hotel in that place. Knightsbridge. The hotel is still there. It's called Park Tower. It was so rich, you know. When we go shopping, so he would say, Olubi, come, let's go shopping. I used to like that. So he will rent a Rolls Royce. True. Yes, just for the day, you know. Just rent it. You know. Why go in a black cab when I can go in a Rolls? You know, I've enjoyed. You know, so I was 17, 18 years old, you know. So my uncle would take me. So one day, I'll never forget it. That's why I remember. You know, when he said the car, you know, we're going, Marks and Spencer, we're just going around shops in London, you know, and everything. He said, well, let me take what you like. Because I did physics, you see. That's why it's good to do physics. So he now said to him, he said, anybody who says, he was a very intellectual fellow. You know, he used to read and all of that. And he wasn't religious. He wasn't born again or anything like that. But looking back now, I saw God had touched him. You know what he said to me? He said, anybody who says that traditional African religion is on the same level as Christianity is a semi-intellectual. I said, Lord, uncle, why did you say so? Then he mentioned the name. I'm not going to mention the name of the person. He's one of the most famous men in Nigeria today. But I'm not going to mention where. He said, don't mind him. You know, because, you know, they all grew up together in Abeokuta. He said, he doesn't know anything. You know, although he was a smart guy too. But what my uncle said was spot on. You know what he said? He said, anybody who says that traditional African religion is on the same level as Christianity is a semi-intellectual. I don't know, we're passing Harrods or somewhere. I still remember, to show you how much it impressed me. Because I was inside the car with my uncle. You know what my uncle said? He said, the Bible says God is love. He said, is Chakwana love? Kai. Chakwana is the god of smallpox. Or any of our Ogun. He said, have you ever seen any masquerade that will inspire love, but it inspires fear? He said, Christianity is, he said, none of our traditional religions are anywhere close to Christianity. He said that from pure intellectual, honest reasoning. Oh, true story. True story. Thank God the white man came. It's not because they are white. They're not superior to us. Mm-mm. It's because they brought Jesus in that package. Church, education, hospital. We used to kill twins in the, you know, Calabar and the East. They had twins. They killed. They take it to the evil forest. What kind of culture is that? And it's not here alone. No. The same thing in India. The same thing in China. If you see some of their demonic cultures, if a king died. There was one movie I watched. This was, I must have watched about 25 years ago. I can never forget it. You know, this girl, beautiful, nice Indian girl, young, was betrothed to this old king. So she fell in love with a British colonial officer, a young man, white. And you know, you mustn't go near the something of a king, but he did because he's British. But they didn't know. They used to meet in secret and all of that. So the king now died. So she had to be burnt alive with the king. They call it sati. There's a name for it among the Indians. We're not talking about a long time ago. We're talking about, you know, in the 1920s or 30s or 40s or something like that. They were still practicing that thing. But the British government had put their foot down that that thing should be stopped. But in many places in their culture, they still did it. So, you know, so the king, you know, well, in the Indian culture, they cremate, they don't bury. So all his wives had to lie in the funeral pyre. So they will pour some like petrol on them, they will light it, and the king will be burnt. All those girls will be burnt. So that girl who was in love with this British officer, you know, of course she didn't want to do that, but she had no choice. That's how bad it was. So they carried her. She had to put on the funeral pyre. The British officer who was her boyfriend, who loved her, you know, he had his gun. You know, he shot her. So she would not suffer. When they were shouting and dancing to their gods, and they were making noise over, because they wouldn't hear, so he was able to use that opportunity. Horrible culture. So where it came from? Devil. D-E-V-I-L. Whether it's Africa, whether it's Asia, whether it's England. All of them were barbarians. Thank God. Everybody give the Lord Jesus a super clap of it. Thank God for Jesus. All of us. All cultures, you know, are very demonic. Because the gods behind them are devils. Paul wrote it. He said, the things that Gentiles sacrifice, they don't sacrifice to God. They sacrifice to devils. You need to know this. And all this stupid mentality about the white man coming to colonize us and all that. God did you a favor by sending them. So the three seasons, the first season of trumpets is being fulfilled. These three seasons are in three jubilee cycles. We'll look at this in more detail on Sunday. The first 50 year was for about 1900. First jubilee cycle, 900 to 1950. We preached this in, when was it, Pastor G? You know, it was 1991. That's when I wrote this book called Times and Seasons. We're going to, Pastor Wally, I was just telling David, we're going to upgrade the book now with this. You know,
So, anyway, first season is first. That's when Israel was released back to the land. That's why it's a jubilee. Okay? The second season is a season of the Day of Atonement, which has also been fulfilled, in which the church is released from the sin nature and the soul and body. What I'm teaching you tonight, cleansing perfection from 1995 onwards. The third season is the one we're in now. The season of ingathering is in two sections. The first section is 2000 to 2025, which is, we're 2024 now, you know, which is the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit, of the perfection of the love of God. Now, this is so crucial because it is the prerequisite to the second part. Without the perfection of the love of God, we cannot and will not be trusted with the Spirit without measure. So we cannot fulfill the second part, which is the ingathering of the disciples from all every tribe, tongue, and they say. Then there's some other dates there. I'll deal with that on Sunday, you know, about the temple being built, the universal persecution, you know, the tribulation, and the physical return of Jesus. Don't worry. And I say all these dates, they're not exact dates. They're prophetic shadows. So don't go and say, Pastor Obi said Jesus coming 2053. I didn't say so. I just said, you know, just like the first, look at the first two, 1900 to 1950. But the actual fulfillment was 48. So you can see that's why it's a shadow. So like the shadow of my body, for example, if you look at it, it's not exactly my height. It's either a little bit shorter or a little bit taller. But it has the same shape. That's why it's a prophetic shadow. It's a prophetic shadow. Good. So all these dates are approximate dates and they are prophetic shadows. But it gives us what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians says that we should not, that day will not overtake us. I said, why? We will not be so, because we will know this time and season. We will not know the day and the hour, but we will know the time and season. So I know the season we're in now. We're at the tail end of the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit. Then the Lord said something to me, then we'll go to our normal school of perfection. Praise the Lord. You know, and he said this to me. He said, the sign that you are perfecting the love of God to the degree I want it. He said, you're already doing it. He said, but when you begin to see the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit in their purity and power, you know I'm pleased with you. Because that's why those gifts of the Spirit are given as the Spirit wills. What makes the Spirit willing? Pleasing God. So, just keep that. Now, let's get back to the... So, we are studying the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Who's still on my side? Don't let anybody fool you about some silly African culture and very demonic and wicked. No wonder why the Bible calls them wicked spirits in heavenly places. You know, my grandfather, he came from Abeokuta originally. There is a hill in Abeokuta. It's called Okeika. How can you? It means the hill of evil. No, correction. Hill of wickedness. Okeika. Now, I know a lot of Abeokuta people are lovely people. I'm not, you know, I thank God for coming from Abeokuta. So I'm not against our people. What I'm just trying to say is that a lot of our culture, it took Christianity for God to come and deliver our people. The same thing. It doesn't matter where you go in Nigeria. Among the Igbos is the same thing. Among the Efiks is the same thing. In Calabar, they have this Ekpe and all this. You know, and foolishly, because they don't know the Bible, you know, our people, you know, go and start, you know, idolizing. No, the word is not idolizing. They just think it is harmless to kind of preserve your culture innocently. But ignorance, you know, they now get themselves involved in demonic things. So-called, you know, you see it in Barbados, you see it in the Caribbean, you know, also Brazil. This is, they call it carnival. Then all the demons come out. The women are half naked. They even in Calabar here, there's a carnival.
you know, then you see all these masquerades and all that kind of thing, you will just get transfer of spirit. A demon will come in and you won't know where it came from. Be very careful. I'm not condemning all of our culture. There are good parts. But we have to be able to recognize. That's why we need to know the Bible. The bad parts and keep them out. And don't expose our children to come and inherit demonic spirits on the cult, on the altar of culture. The Holy Ghost said, shut up. I've said, he didn't say shut up in a negative way. He said, you've told them what they need to know. So we're studying Jesus, you know, from the book of, in our last lesson, we stopped in Matthew chapter 15. Today, we're going to start Matthew chapter 16. We'll just look at a few things there. But those introductions were really very critical that I've taken us through. Right. So, look at Matthew chapter 16. How many people are still on my side? Okay, don't worry. Your culture is not, you know, not as nice as you think it is. It's not nice and innocent. It's demonic. You need to know that. So you take away take the good part and you keep the bad, you know. There's a lot in the Yoruba culture that's very good. I have a lot of proverbs that are in line with the word of God. We have a lot. There's a lot in our culture that is good. But there is also a lot that is very bad. Even in the... I was reading the newspaper just a few days ago. I was shocked. Somebody... what state was it? Was it Bielsa? One of these foreign countries. He married a four-year-old girl. What is that? You should be locked up, put in jail, and the key thrown away. For your heart. I'm sure it's some silly culture. Maybe the father owed him some money or something. Then he said, what can you take? Thank God for Jesus. Another clap offering for the Lord Jesus. The Bible is true. He came to set us free. He actually, literally set us free. If not for Jesus. Hey! You will not be here tonight. Especially all you girls. Women don't, they don't go to school. They don't learn anything. They are for only one purpose. To have children and to serve the man. Women cannot be like the Professor Bosse, who is a professor now. Professor for where? What are you doing with professor? Go and cook for your husband, I beg. Yes. Thank God for the white man. Thank God for Jesus. The Pharisees, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. I remember still on my side. If you're at home, give me a wave of it too. If you're still on my side. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. Funny guys. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it is fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Let me just stop there. See what the Holy Spirit helped me, not me, but I, by the grace and the mercy of God that's with me, what I did with that Feast of Tabernacles, how did I do it? I discerned the times. I looked at what was happening in history. I looked at what was happening in the church. Then with revelation of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it was clear to me, you know, that this is where we are. That's exactly what Jesus said. You can discern. Just look with an honest heart and you'll be able to discern the times in which you are living. If you don't, you're dishonest. So just by looking at the sky, you can discern the weather. He said, how then can you not? So if you're looking at the prophetic signs and what is happening in history, there was just another earthquake in Japan I was just speaking about it in the other day. I was saying it was China. China was last week. You think you're reading Matthew 24? Correction. You are reading Matthew 24. It shall be, you know, earthquakes in diverse places. Say, I don't believe in the Bible. You know who you are? A fool. It's not an insult. It's a correct discernment of the condition of your heart. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You can't look at all these signs and come back and say there is no God. Come on. The Bible is its own evidence. Say, prove the Bible is true. It proves itself. You don't have to prove anything. It proves there. Go and see what it said. Look at what is happening today, and you can see the proof that it is true. Self-correlating is what the leaders of the framers of the American Constitution said, we hold these truths to be what? Self-evident. You don't need any other evidence. The truths themselves are self-evident. You know why? They were based on the Bible. Amen. And all men are created equal. And history has proven it to be true. So can you not? That's why Jesus was very angry with them. They were very, very hypocritical. Real hypocrites. How can you not discern these times, the signs of the times? So what I've done in that Feast of Tabernacles that I explained to you is all I have done, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, I just have discerned the signs of the times. I wasn't born in 1948. I was not even born. I've not been conceived. But by looking at what happened from 900, I know that's that season. By looking at the other one, I know by knowing the word of God, this I can tell. And even a child can understand it. It's so clear, you have to be patently dishonest to reject it. Still on my side? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after the sign, and there shall no be sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. May God not leave you and depart. God will leave you and depart when he sees that you don't even want the truth. Romans says he gave them up to a reprobate mind. Do you know why? He said that which may be known of God is manifest in them. He said, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Watch this. So that they are without excuse. That's why he gave them up to reprobate mind. You don't want to believe in God? Okay, you believe in dogs and fishes. Can't start worshiping them. You'd be amazed at the foolishness of man's heart. They will make an idol of a fish. So I'll make an idol of a goat. Then they will bow down, they'll pour palm oil on it. They'll give it, they'll cut the tree. He's in Isaiah. You know. He said his head cleanse cannot tell him that I was one who cut this tree. Then I'll say, deliver me, deliver me. Eshu. In our language, that means devil. It's just the devil. Blind their mind. But they were not originally blind. Because God, the Bible says, this is the true light that lighted every man to come to the world. God enlightened them. But they chose to reject the light. Then darkness came in. Mercy. Okay. Right. Who's still on my side? Okay. So, we are supposed to discern, you know, now let's look at verses 5 through 12. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm making good time. It says, and when his disciples, I'm only hearing Pastor Guiga. What's wrong with them in the choir? Pastor Andrew, what's wrong with your people? Remy, I can't hear your voice. So, why did I pick on her? Because I'm looking at her face. Okay. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread.
Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion. But don't criticize them more. Don't be too quick. Don't be too quick. God told me many years ago, don't be quick. He said, you are just the same. It's the blindness of the human heart because of the darkness of the sin nature. That's why scripture says that the carnal mind is in enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither, amazing scripture, Papa Paul, neither indeed can be. So having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, then tells you the reason, because of the hardness or stubbornness of their hearts. So don't laugh at them. Many of us are just the same. Our minds are just as dark. Jesus was talking about the spiritual thing. They said that we didn't bring bread. They're laughing. Hey, go to our churches today. And Pentecostal and Word of Faith, you understand? We're so materially minded. All scriptures are interpreted in only one way. How God will bless you. And so this one I just remember. It always makes me laugh. Whenever it's been some years, you know, I don't go to such places. But occasionally, you know, I'm invited somewhere and I hear all this again. Say, seed time and harvest time. They quote it from Genesis, you know, shall never cease from the earth. As long as the earth, you will say, you know, they will say we relish. And I know it's true, God, you can sow seed and all that. But all the in-between, they leave out. The watering, the sunshine. Same thing. Is that carnal mind is only goes for the material and it, you know, ignorant about the spiritual. Oh, I remember the other scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor and he's cracking a joke with me inside and he has allowed me to share it with you. He said, there's another one, you know, when David, you know, went to, when David sinned and asked them to count Israel, then the angel was destroying Israel. So he now saw this angel, you know, in the threshing field of honor. So David now said, oh, please, you know, let me, you know. So the man said, oh, no, you can have it. David said, no, I will not take anything that does not. Because then they will tell you, that's why you have to give to the man of God. What they're saying is not wrong. It's actually true. But you see, that overemphasis on the carnal and the material is a consequence of the darkness of the mind. The same problem we see with the apostles here. They could only think physically. Because the mind was not enlightened with light and life. Who's still on my side? Which when Jesus perceived... Verse 8, who is still on my side? Then let me hear your voice. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, if all you use your faith for is material things, your faith is little. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do ye yet not understand? You can hear the frustration in his voice. These are people who were walking with Jesus. People who had the borrowed anointing. And they were having problems. Then what else do we say about the main congregation? Do ye yet not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000. How many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up. In other words, it can never be because you forgot bread. Even if you forgot the bread, we can make more.
When I made for 5,000 and I made for 4,000, how much more among the 12 of us or the 70 of us here? I shall know how. Next verse. How is it that you do not understand that I speak unto you not concerning bread? We still have the same problem today. All our thinking, our motive is all materially directed. Talk about inheritance. Say, hey, you have a house in Lekki. Silly guys. And I'm saying this, it's criticism, but it's constructive criticism. And I say jokingly to show I'm not talking out of spite or anything, but also to provoke something. You know, word of wisdom, this is the key of your messages. Sit in the churches. God has shown me of all the things you can have word of wisdom about. It's this thing. That I speak to you, not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 12. Then understood they, after the rebuke, after the correction. That's why it's important to correct people and rebuke. Because sometimes that rebuke is like, the word of God is like a knife. It pierces through that darkness of the mind and brings light. That's why it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's why sometimes you need that. That he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. It's not physical bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, I want to make a point here. The Holy Spirit gave it to me when I was preparing today. Beware of the leaven of hypocritical erroneous teachings. Then I have it written here. It says, error is caused by dishonesty and hypocrisy. Everybody repeat it after me. Say, error is caused by dishonesty and hypocrisy. See, before you get into error, you would have had to reject truth. Let me be more holistic. Let me be more to be clear. The Bible says, I was reading in my Bible today. I read my Bible every day, incidentally, just to encourage you. You know, so I was reading the book of Proverbs today. It says, the multitude of counselors, their safety. Multitude. Why? He says, thy testimonies are my counselors. Before you accept any truth, you have to look at what the holistic Bible says. It says, Paul, it says, I have not shunned not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. What causes error is to just take one or two scriptures and then ignore other scriptures. That's why it's dishonesty. And then the hypocrisy part of it is that you will find that many of the interpretations are always suited to them and not to everybody else. That's why the Bible says the wisdom that is from above is first of all what? Pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits. Watch this. Without hypocrisy, without partiality. You know what you're telling people to do? Do you do yourself? The standard you are raising, can you yourself keep that standard? That's the problem we had with the legalistic doctrines of the 80s and the 90s. All the big men of God who say this, say that, but they themselves in their lives can't keep it. And tell people to do what you can do. And Jesus hated that thing. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. One standard for the people, another standard for you. You tell people fast, then you fast. Tell people pray, then you pray. Tell people get up at 4 o'clock, then you get up at 4 o'clock. You can never become the big man of God, or should never become the big man of God, that, you know, you're supposed to special grace.
It was one brother who told us many, many years ago, somebody came to preach here. He said, you don't understand, Pastor. Well, you know, those men of God, they are praying on special grace. There are things they can do and get away with that you cannot do because you don't have the special grace. So the special grace, you know, enables them to continue in sin that grace may abound. Silly people. When the Bible says, God forbid, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But that's what they preach. All that nonsense is going to stop. You come on Sunday, I'll go through that thing properly. A flood is coming. The flood of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good news and bad news. Bad news. 2/3 will be cut off. And you know, I now understand what God was telling me after Feast of Tabernacles of last year. So you think you are ready. He said, but you are ready to some degree. He said, you are not as ready as you think. I said, a lot of your people are not ready. So God, he said, you know, God is not slack concerning his promises. As some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that end, because God knows when the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. He will be like a refining fire. Then he asks the rhetorical question, showing you the intensity and the gravity, you know, there's another word, you know, I'll get it in a minute, you know, of the effect of his coming. He said, who will stand when he appears? Who will stand? It means many will fall. See, most of the church has never seen the glory of God. The church has never, you know, this church, you know, it's going to get it. But, you know, we've never, you know, we've all been playing with sin and all of that, you know. When the glory of God comes, Ananias and Sapphira will die. And there are many Ananias and Sapphira in the church. Ananias and Sapphira did not die because they didn't give. Which is to use today's standard. They died because they lied. They died because they tried to compete with Barnabas. So if he were to come tonight with that same glory, how many Ananias and Sapphiras are there in the church? Millions. So he says, I'll give you another year. Use 2024, clean up your act. Prosper your soul. Get rid of this superfluity of naughtiness. That's how James calls it. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness. Get all, because when I come, who will stand when he appeareth? Mercy. That's why we don't waste this year. It's the year of the prosperity of the soul. I didn't say the year of prosperity. But you will get prosperity too. And you will get better healing and health. But it's the year of the prosperity of the soul. Don't mess with it too. And that is the purpose of your faith. That's what's going to give you great faith. If you are still using faith for car and all of that, it's little faith. But if you want to move to great faith, it says the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Aha! You're now moving to a higher level of operational faith. How many people are still on my side? So he was not talking about that. So I'm going to close that for tonight. You know, tomorrow, or rather next week, we'll look at, you know, revelation knowledge. He said, on this rock I will build my church. He says, and the key gates of hell. He says, I will give you the keys. Stand to your feet. You know,
keys open doors.
And it's not the way our people think. Say open door.
You know, we've so bastardized and corrupted everything.
So everywhere say open door. Now, the mind always goes to the material. No? The keys of the kingdom open doors to the kingdom. The dominion of God. They release abundant measures of the power of God. That's why Jesus said, if you build on that, the gates of hell cannot prevail. When you get revelation knowledge, you will open the keys of heaven. So the heavens over you will be open. Then the power of God. So which devil can stand that? Said the gates of hell shall not prevail. But that's coming attractions for next week. So for today, as we close, I want you to talk to God. Don't be a hypocrite. Discern the times. On Sunday, after the message, I'm going to send that chart out through the pastors to all the groups. So I want everybody to go and study it. All the things I'm giving you, they will either testify for you or against you. Because you see, you will not say, Pastor Olubi didn't tell me. Like Paul, I yet not I, but to the grace of God, by the grace and the mercy of God, I want to be honest before God and say, my hands are clean, and I do not have the blood of any man, for I have not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. You know, this thing should motivate you to plan your life. Because you can see God's timetable. Like you understand the times and the seasons and the prophetic shadows for the next almost 30, 40 years. So plan. Number one, decide you are not going to die. Then take the responsibility. Healing and health, exercise, natural medicine when you need it, you know. Walk in love. Number two, prepare your heart. You know, prosper your soul so you can inherit the spirit without measure. I don't care how old you are, whether you're 64 like me, or you're 80, or you're 20. Everybody has a part. Go and check the scripture. The Bible says in the book of Joel, it says, you know, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, all ages, all genders, and we have only two, men and women. I don't know the Holy Ghost, you know. He just came to me. He's there qualified. We have only two. It's either male or female. We don't have any other gender. God have mercy. Amen. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. He says, the old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. Everybody will have a visitation from God. Amen. And all of us can be a part of this great last move that's going to bring disciples to the nations. I mean, Nigeria alone has over 500. I'm talking about tribes and tongues. And in that, in each of those tribes and tongues, I have to go and get at least between 12 and 100. That will not just believe, but they will accept the discipline. Then partake of the borrowed anointing so that they will heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. It's a big job. Congo. I had a friend, you know, pastor who used to go to Congo. He says there are so many tribes there. It's just like Nigeria. You know? They not talk of China and all these places. There are places. And somebody has to go. The Bible says, here I am. Send me. So all the degrees you are getting, all the money you are making, all the success you want in life is to be used for that purpose. You're not going yet until after the glory. Don't rush. That's why we give you the timetable. Now, prosper your soul. Say what Israel ought to do. What is the job of, what are we to do in 2024? Prosper our souls. Amen. Shekinah. And as we prosper ourselves and we get to a particular benchmark level, we will start seeing the restoration, come on here on Sunday, of the gifts of the Spirit in their purity and their power. The gifts of the Spirit have majorly been withdrawn. They're still there, but most of it is low, false, and counterfeit. Corrupted. And even when we see gifts, it's a very low manifestation. Compared to what I saw when I first got born again in the late 70s, I still remember Kenyan camp meeting. You will see diversities of, like you've never seen before. Diversities of tongues and manifest, an interpretation of tongues. You know, Kenneth Hagin's daughter, you know, I've forgotten her name. And her husband, Buddy Harrison, he's dead now, you know, of blessed memory. You know, he and the wife, Pat, thank you. Her name is Pat. She's still alive, you know. If the husband and the wife, they do tongues and interpretation for you. Then, you know, I still remember one particular one, I just tell you. You know, was it Buddy Harrison or was it Kenneth Copeland? I can't remember. You know, there was this flower that on the just like this, where we had this flower on the stage. So he gave an utterance in tongues, and then he was speaking in tongues. Then he came to the flower, you know, then he shook it up and down like this. Then the wife, I think it was Buddy and Pat, you know, picked the interpretation. Then she started saying what he was saying in the tongues. He started saying it in English. Then he came to the flower, and as the flower was going up, and I gave you the interpretation. That was normal. Don't see them again. I was in a meeting. I got it close. Her name is Jean Wilkerson. I'm sure she's dead now. Because at that time, this 1980, Jean Wilkerson was already in her 70s, if not her 80s. She was old then. So that's 40 years. She's probably 120 now, if she's still alive. Great prophetess. Kenneth Hagin had a lot of respect for her. I was in that meeting. Because I went to Tulsa. I wanted to go, but God didn't let me go for the camp meeting. This is 1981. I went in 1980 for the camp meeting. 1981, you know, I went to Tulsa, and I stayed there for about 3 months. You know, from September till late November. You know, and there was this meeting. They had Full Gospel Businessmen Fellow. No, it wasn't Full Gospel. It was Faith. It was a meeting of faith preachers. You know, the president was, I think, Buddy Harrison. Then Kenneth Copeland. Then there was, everybody was there. You know, Fred Price. All the top, you know, Ed Dufresne, you know, Jerry Savelle, all the top faith guys, my people. And I'm serious, you know, really great guys. They made their mistakes, but great guys. So anyway, so Ken Hagin was ministering one night, you know, in the evening service, just, you know, preaching, teaching about something. Then he began to move into the prophetic. And began to talk about things that are going to come. Then he says, Sister Wilkerson is here. Where are you, Sister Wilkerson? And she was somewhere in their back. She came up. Her hair was white. Yes, you know, she was old. But beautiful woman. She came up. Then she took the mic. Oh my God. The Holy Ghost. She began to prophesy about Russia. About the evil empire. And how, this is 1980, how the leaders were going to die one after the other until, man, and that the evil empire will be destroyed without firing a shot. I was in that meeting. We don't hear, we don't see things like that again. Gift of prophecy. That was 1980. And Brezhnev died. Andropov followed. Died. Then there was, I think, the third one, I've forgotten his name, you know, before Gorbachev came. And did it happen or did not happen? That's short. Give Jean Wilkerson a super clap offering. Whether she's in heaven or not, it doesn't matter. That level of the gifts of the Spirit is going to return. Not all this Brother Yemi Ayodele has a name for them. Beans and Gary prophecy. My children, Kawasaki, Chicago. It sounds like talk, but it's not though. My children, you know, Beans and Gary prophecy. Kawasaki and Suzuki. You know, we're just making joke and fun. You know, that's how ridiculous. It's now become tingling cymbals, just noise. Because men refuse to develop their souls and grow in love. Because the gifts of the Spirit are given on the excellent way of love. Get off love and you start going to tingling cymbals, which is where we are. But good news is going to be restored. Why? We're getting back on the road of love. Come on, Sunday. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's still on my side? Hello, hello, hello. Hallelujah. Boogie. I love you, Lord. Greater than anything. Sing it.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
More than my heart can sing. I love you, Lord. More than I love myself. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love.
Greater than anything. can truly say that, don't condemn yourself. It just means you have to work on it. Raise that hand. Say to yourself and to God, say, Lord, I love you more than I love anything. More than I even love myself. And your heart can get there. It's a question of training. That's why you have to say it every day. I love God more with all my heart, my will, my mind and emotions. I love my brethren. As you do that every day, that heart changes. The desire, the will, the mind, the emotions begins to love God more. Then the things of this world that attract you, that keep you in bondage will drop off. You will just use them because you are here. We have to have nice food and car and house and purpose having food and raiment. You know, yeah, we need these physical things. Jesus said, Papa said, yeah, he has news you have need, but I don't love them. Not anywhere where I love God. That's the difference, folks. Okay, let's pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life, and your power in sufficient measure. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight, inspiring me, instructing me to prepare myself for this great move of the Spirit without measure that is in front of us. And for now, the prosperity of my soul, so that I can begin to see the restoration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their purity and their power in my life. Oh God, help me. Have mercy on me to prioritize the things of the Spirit, to make more room for Jesus in my life. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood, your life, your power, in and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, in this regard, Zephri, Frenash Kufre, in Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, stretch your hands. If you are home, stretch it towards your device. I want to encourage you tonight. See, you find something God does. It was my personal experience and it's the experience of millions. See, when you're a young Christian and you just come to faith, you find you get your healing almost instantly. Almost. God will manifest. Why? He wants you to know that what you're in is real. But after some time, you find it's not that like that used to be. It's not telling you deal with the soul. So you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. It's not because it doesn't love you. And then he'll give you some, you know, crutch, like natural medicine that will help you along the way while you are developing your soul. I was reading my Bible today. You know, how Jesus, this was in Matthew 15, which we did last week. He was in Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is modern-day Lebanon. Modern-day Lebanon. It's to the northwest. It's on the coast. You know, just went as far as that, which was not even in Israel. It was part of Israel at the time, but not really, you know. And there was this Syrophoenician woman. Syrophoenician. She was not Jewish. And her daughter was demonically possessed. She began to cry, Jesus, have mercy on me. The Bible said Jesus didn't answer. Jesus can be interesting. He didn't answer. So,
so that there will not be negative press.
To use today's parlance, you know, Peter and Bill said, look, Oga, if you're not going to heal the woman, at least you have to go, because they will, so that, you know, the Pharisees will start saying that you're a wicked man, you know, and there's a woman who has been begging you since morning, you didn't answer her. Even we ourselves, we are feeling that, Oga, we'll choose this one now. And he healed the poor woman. So, maybe they kept her outside or something, I don't know. You know, so anyway, Jesus allowed them to bring her. So the woman began to cry and something. He said, ah, woman, you don't understand. I'm not sent. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the... You are not an Israelite. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it is not correct for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I'm going to encourage you with this. Yes, I will give it to dogs. But that woman is still getting angry. Most 90% of people will get angry. So what kind of man of God is that? Open me, Laja. Call me a dog. She's smarter than most of the people today. She said, truth, Lord. You know, the man never said anything that's not true. He said, truth, Lord. He said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Ah! Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Let it be unto thee. Now, the question is, that woman did not have a developed soul. She was not even an Israelite. But she got healed. You will get healed tonight. See, God is a good God. When you are that, he will bless, he will heal. The Bible says multitudes, he will heal them. But after you get healed, he expects you to begin to seek that God and deal with the other things. So that not only will you keep the healing, you will increase it. There are three levels of healing. There's divine healing, you get sick, and then you get healed. Then there's divine health, where you hardly get sick. Then there's divine life, where there's so much life in your mortal body, sickness cannot even attack you. Someone says, is that possible? Of course it's possible. But the church hasn't got there. The reason is because we don't develop the soul. If you develop the soul, you will move from divine healing to divine health. From divine health to divine life. That's where we're going. Now, raise that hand. Mm-hmm. If you're home, you're going to get healed. It's the children's bread. But when you get it, use it properly. Father, we release your healing power into the physical bodies of people whose hands are stretched out now. In Jesus' name. The Bible says you sent your word and healed them and you delivered them from their destructions. We come against the spirit of infirmity, spirit of fear, doubt, unbelief, disobedience, the spirit of oppression and depression. We cast you out. Destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of fear of God, of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom, and revelation, of counsel and might. Minister healing and health to you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.